Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Carrie Fulmer. Carrie's husband has been the senior pastor of the Evangelical Christian Church of Dubai for almost 20 years. They have three adult children that they raised in Dubai, and Carrie runs women's Bible studies at her church and has written several books, including The Good Portion, Scripture, How Can Women Thrive in the Local Church, and Delighting in the Word Bible Study Series. Carrie also hosts a podcast called Priscilla Talk, which you will want to hop over to find after this great conversation that I have with her today. Carrie joins me to talk about what it was like raising kids on the mission field. Carrie and John moved to Dubai when their oldest child was six, so I asked her to tell us about her questions and fears around raising kids overseas, how God has helped her all along the way, and what the joys have been raising their kids in Dubai. Whether you're overseas, considering going overseas, or church planting, Carrie offers advice and wisdom about how to navigate it all while raising kids. Here, friends, is my conversation with Carrie Fulmer. I am so excited to welcome Carrie Fulmer to the podcast. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to get to talk to you because I've heard your name for so long and I've heard about what you're doing in Dubai, but I have never actually gotten to talk to you and to pick your brain. So this is a really big privilege for me today.
For me too. I've heard your name for years and I've always wanted to meet you. So thank you for having me on.
Will you introduce yourself to my listeners and tell us about your ministry context?
Yeah. So Carrie Fulmer. My husband is John Fulmer. He's been the senior pastor of the Evangelical Christian Church of Dubai for almost 20 years now. So we've lived here for almost 20 years and our children grew up here. We raised our children here. My daughter Ruth was six when we moved here. Chloe was four when we moved here. And Andrew was three when we moved here.
Wow. And you moved from where? Where did you move from?
We moved from Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
So, we had been in Washington, D.C. for 2 years. John had been an assistant pastor at Capitol Hill Baptist Church. And Mark Dever was in Dubai doing a men's retreat for the church here. And he came back and said to John, what do you think about Dubai? Because John was ready to go out and be preaching every week. So, we were immediately excited.
Really?
I think the Lord had really prepared my heart and John's heart. We had been on a short-term trip the year before in a Muslim country. And we had just had a real heart for, we'd been praying for missions before that, and we just had a heart for this part of the world. But we felt that John was equipped to preach, and you preach in English, right? Okay. I mean, It's very difficult to move someplace, learn the language, as a 35-year-old, by the way. And then learn the language so well, especially in a language like Arabic, and then preach in Arabic. So we didn't know that churches existed overseas that where there was English preaching. We didn't know about really international churches, but we had a heart for this part of the world, and we're praying for it, you know, at least weekly. And so when Mark came home and said, what do you think about Dubai? We were immediately excited.
Wow. That's amazing. So I want to clarify, did y'all plant the church in Dubai?
No, it was already in existence.
Okay.
It was not a healthy church. Okay. It was a mixture. It does have people from different denominations and that sort of thing, but it was very much a theological mix, and some real unhealthy theology. And there wasn't expositional preaching here, except for occasionally one of the men would seek to preach through a book of the Bible. But there really was not good biblical teaching in the church. Mm-hmm. And so when we got here, it was a very unhealthy place.
Okay.
A friend said to me, who had been here and they had been trying to reform the church, they had been trying to bring some health to the church. And she said, when she first got here, they attended on, it used to be, we used to have church on Fridays. They attended on a Friday, and she thought, oh, there must be a real church somewhere meeting, and this is kind of the fake church that the government is supposed to be able to see. I mean, it was that, the gospel was often absent. So very unhealthy.
So when we think of Dubai, I think everyone listening, they have maybe an idea in their minds of what Dubai is or what ministry might look like there, but we don't know if that's real or not. So I'd love to hear from you, what is Dubai doing ministry in Dubai, or what is Dubai like, and what does your ministry look like there?
Well, in Dubai, I think there are over about 200 countries that people come from who live here. It's only 10 to 15% Emirati, the local people. Other people are from every place, from Indonesia to the West. I mean, and every place in between. And so we have over 60 different nationalities in our church.
Wow.
And they come from all kinds of different religious backgrounds. We have, Muslim background believers. We have Hindu background believers. Everything that you can think of. Atheist background who are now believers. So it's a real mix, and that's what makes it such a joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you worship on a Sunday, it's like a little taste of heaven.
Wow.
Because you've got, every tribe, tongue, and nation there, but all speaking English.
Uh-huh.
So it's a real privilege to be able to be here. It's very easy to share the gospel when we're outside the church, because people from these different religions, they're not like the West. They're very interested in religion and talking about things. So religion is not a taboo topic to speak about. So it's really easy to share the gospel with people here. The rub is, when you start reading the Bible with someone and they realize they have to count the costs.
Yeah.
So it's not easy for people to convert here, but it is easy to share the gospel. Mm. And we've seen a steady stream of conversions in the church.
Well, and in fact, y'all have planted churches out of your church. There's a huge network of churches being planted in the Middle East from y'all, right?
Yeah, in the United Arab Emirates, which is the country where Dubai is, we have a network of very healthy expositional preaching. We talk about membership in the churches and gospel-centered and just good churches within an hour of any place in the country.
Wow.
So It's been so exciting. It's been a movement of God, really. I mean, we've planted three churches, and some of our church plants have planted churches, and then other churches have become healthy and reformed just, you know, by God's working in them without us having anything to do with it. And so it's just been a really exciting thing to watch God move in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to take the listener back, and I want to know too, just back to when you said you were 35 and you're moving to Dubai and you have these small children. Because a lot of women listening, they're preparing to church plant, or they're church planting in a different area than where they grew up in, even if it's in the United States. And so they're really, you know, and I remember planting my where I had to work out my greatest fears was related to my children. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to know about when your husband came home and said Dubai and you're excited, what were some of the things that you thought about or were praying about or were fearful about related to your children?
That's such a good question. I don't know that I thought that much. I mean, they were very little. We were homeschooling at the time. I think I was thinking about schooling. We were homeschooling at the time, and I sort of had not planned to homeschool. But in DC, it's pretty difficult to navigate the schools there. So I was homeschooling. My daughter, who was six, so that's, you know, early homeschooling. And then Chloe was about to start homeschooling. And so I was thinking about those things. But I really did not know enough to have any fears or really think through things much with my children. Or about my children. We had a wonderful woman who moved with us to Dubai, a young woman from the church. And she was a dear sister who just said, hey, if you want me to come with you to get you moved in, I'd be happy to do that.
Wow.
So she was supposed to come out for like 5 weeks and help us. And at the end of that, she said, you know what? I think I'd like to stay. Do you mind if I stay? And we were like, mind, please, we're begging you. So she was a huge help and just a delight to be around and a joy for my children. Hmm. And so we had that kind of help. And then we just moved over and continued doing the kind of school that I had been doing in DC. Uh-huh. Now that did become difficult. So actually our dear sister Elizabeth, she got a job out here. So she was living with us still, but wasn't, you know, my right hand man anymore, right? But the difficulty out here was there just wasn't very much homeschooling. And so, you know, you're looked at oddly if you're out during the day with your kids.
Oh, right.
And generally they put kids in school at 3 here, 'cause it's more of a British system. So that was kind of awkward. And there were a couple other families who homeschooled here, but they had older kids than mine. So there weren't other families that I could get my kids together with and that sort of thing during the week. Mm-hmm. So that was really difficult to just be kind of all by myself homeschooling.
And new to a culture and a country.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that? And just in the early years, I'm imagining you come in, you recognize the church needs a lot of work, a lot of revitalization, a lot of energy and time from you and your husband, but you have small kids. And so I would love to know what that looked like for you as you're helping your kids adjust and while you're adjusting and all of the work ahead of you. Do you remember those days?
Yeah. I mean, it was craziness. First of all, at church, when I would go to church, I would have these conversations with people, and they would get sometimes very bizarre. And I would have to think so hard, like, can I just kind of smile and nod to what this person's saying? Or is it so heretical that I have to say, you know, that's not really right?
Yeah.
It was that kind of atmosphere in the church. So that was, you know, it made your head hurt. Besides that, you're trying to understand all the accents.
Oh, so yeah.
It was an English-speaking church, but there are a variety of different accents, and you have to get used to really listening to the accents to determine, you know, what's this person saying. So my head would hurt when we came home from church. At the same time, there were some people who were on the same page that we were, who were super helpful and super encouraging. Like, they were just really resonating with the preaching of God's word and rejoicing that it was, you know, good biblical preaching now in the church. So those people were a huge boost to us. Now, with my kids, I think so we had an elder board of all older men than my husband. And so, and also, it's very much a maid culture here. So so all of the elders' wives would have had maids in the home. So we would have the elders over, and I'm like homeschooling my children all week, and then I'm cooking a big meal for everybody. And then I would have, you know, all of it to clean up, plus three little kids to take care of during and after. And it wasn't, you know, in the U.S., you have something like that, and all the women, at least the women, come into the kitchen and they just help. Well, these women, they didn't relate to something like that because their maids did all that kind of thing. So it was hard at the beginning, like doing all that work and nobody lifting a finger. They're sitting on my couch and I'm like running back and forth around the kitchen and, you know, trying to find out what are my kids doing right now. And that part was difficult.
So what adjustments did you make with that?
I just did it.
You just did it.
Know? I just did it. And I think my husband grew a lot in the way he would help me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just kind of did it. But you know, when you go into, and almost all these elders were from different cultures.
Uh-huh.
So when you go into different cultures, you have to figure out what's happening in the culture. You know, maybe if I had it to do over again, I would have had a maid helping me, you know, or at least found some young women in the church to come in and help me, you know, cook and clean up afterward, something like that. So you just have to really, when you go into these other cultures, you have to figure out what's my capacity and what's acceptable, what's expected. And how am I going to meet these expectations?
Yeah. I'm wondering how in Dubai or in this multi-nationality church, how do they view the pastor's wife? Were there expectations on you or not?
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting thing. I think it's been easier for me and my husband, John, expectation-wise, because people are from other cultures. And they don't know what to expect of an American pastor and his wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure that we've accidentally offended a lot of people, but they've been gracious about it and have just cut us slack, probably thinking, oh, they're Americans. This is the way they do things. This is not the way we do things in our country.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. because that we do hear about expectations of, you know, Indian pastors and African pastors. You know, they're saying keep your pastors poor and working hard.
Oh, yeah.
In other countries. And so it really is something to be aware of when you move overseas.
I think for me, I was like you. When we were called to church plant, I was adventurous. Let's go for it. I didn't really have a lot of fear about my children. I think the fears came later. When I got there, we're kind of like year two, year three, and I'm realizing what this means for not just me, but for my children, that we're going to raise them very far from family, and that the church and the culture we're in is very different than where I grew up. And that was okay, but I had to adjust to that. But there were some fears that came up later. And so I'm wondering for you, once you're in the reality of it, what were some of the fears about your kids, and how did God speak to you about those fears?
Yeah, I think so the schooling system here is very difficult. There aren't other evangelical Christian families here. I mean, they're in the churches, but we're a very, very small minority. And schools are basically based on where you're from. So there's an American curriculum, there's a British curriculum, there's an international curriculum. And so the kids from church go to all these different schools. So my kids were in a school where there were just very few evangelical Christian families. And navigating that was difficult, especially because there's a lot of most of these other cultures. You know, in America, we have this view where, you know, there's equality between people. So we don't go into McDonald's and treat the person working at McDonald's, you know, like they're our servant. We're polite. I mean, hopefully we don't. And you know, we also treat the CEO like he's a human being, and we treat, you know, somebody in service work like they're human beings. Well, here it's not really like that. It's very status oriented. Mm. And so when you get into the schooling system, there's a lot of that as well among the kids. So there's a lot of bullying. There's just a lot of, you know, whose father makes the most money. You have to pay for school out here. So, and the school that my kids went to, being an American curriculum, Americans get paid a lot more out here than some other people from other countries. So I think that that's difficult. And that's something I had a hard time dealing with, because I'm like a mama bear. I don't like for my children to be threatened, you know? And so I think that I could have thought those things better instead of just, you know, getting angry about situations. I could have maybe taught my children more about how to handle, you know, bullying situations and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's an easy Christian answer to it. I don't think I'm not all about telling my kids turn the other cheek. I don't think that's always healthy. I think that it is healthy to learn to stand up for yourself, especially they're not little believers running around. They're not Jesus. And so I think teaching them to have compassion for other people, but also standing up for themselves, is a good thing when you're dealing with other cultures like this.
Mm-hmm. Are there other things that come to mind that you wish you had done differently now that your kids are adults and you look back?
There are things that that don't have a lot to do with cultures. There are things like I wish that I was more oriented toward building relationship with them and less oriented toward tasks. You know, get your homework done. Well, is that really that important? You know, and building relationships with them more. Although I, by the grace of God, I'm so thankful we have good relationships with our children. You know, and still I just talked to my son before getting on this. He lives in Atlanta now. So I think that, and then I wish that I hadn't become angry when they needed discipline, that I had remained calmer and, you know, and taught them in a more loving, patient way. Or discipline them in a more loving, patient way. So yeah, there are things like that, but I'm not sure it has much to do with different cultures.
Right. I think we all, everyone listening can just relate to the two things you shared. So yes, thanks for voicing that. I'm wondering about the joys of raising kids. So you raise your kids in Dubai. That's probably all they remember. I would imagine maybe your six-year-old might remember DC, but what are some of the joys now you look back and like, I'm so thankful we did this with our family because there was joy in it. What were those things?
Well, I am so thankful that we did this. I mean, our church is the biggest joy. I mean, it is just, you know, our kids have these friendships from all over the world, you know. We have a pastor from Zambia and his sons are my and daughter. They're some of my kids' best friends. We have some American pastors too. But I think, you know, the joy of having these relationships and getting to know these other cultures is just a wonderful thing. And the thing with being in a church like this is we don't have any culture to unite us. So we're united in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're united sitting under the word being preached, and we're united in our love for Jesus. And our children saw that, you know, they saw these deep relationships with people who didn't look like us, who didn't act like us in many ways, who didn't dress like us, but they saw these deep relationships and they had relationships with people like that.
Yeah.
And I just think it's invaluable. So that was the biggest joy being here, just our local church, you know.
Yeah.
Another wonderful thing is being able to experience other cultures with them, with our kids, and being able to travel. I mean, we've been many different places in the world, and our kids have been with us. And so just the joy of that kind of family time, it just is hard to top. So we're really thankful for that too.
And I'm wondering how, as they got older, how did you, you know, when you moved, it's the calling on you and your husband and your kids are along for the ride. They don't know any different. But then as they get older, how did you encourage them to join you in the work that you were doing in ministry?
You know, we just loved the church and I think they saw that, and we spent time with the church. I mean, my kids really didn't have much time with their school friends or anything like that because every weekend was full on church, the whole weekend. And so I think that they really, they took that on. And even if sometimes they weren't very, very happy about it, they now, you know, they moved out of our home and it was just kind of a no-brainer that they were going to be a become a part of a church. They just, that was what they did. And so, you know, each of our children are members of other churches now, and they plugged into churches immediately on moving out of our home. And they just saw that as this is their community, and it's where that they wanted to be.
Yes, how you incorporated them into the ministry. But I think that's one of the joys of church planting and doing that kind of work that you did. That's what I found too. My kids were around the table with all of these people and getting to hear stories and getting to meet so many different people. And yeah. I just love that. It's one of the joys of church planting. So I'm thankful for that.
Well, and now that you brought that up, that's another thing. Like, people from our church, we've had the joy of having them around our table, of course, but then also people traveling through, you know, lots of missionaries coming through and having the joy, and like people like Mark Dever staying with us, and Don Carson staying with us, John Piper, Andrew Wood. When he was, I don't know how old he was. He was probably 8 years old or something. John Piper would have breakfast and Andrew would walk in and look at pictures of his dog with them. And so just the joy of, he went up to Pastor John at a conference later after he'd gone through puberty and everything. And he said, "Hey, Pastor John," like he knew him. And Pastor John said, "Do I know you?" And he said, "Fulmer." And it was just really funny because he was so looked completely different.
Yeah.
So just the joy of, you know, having people like that in our home and missionaries coming through and staying with us. The joy of hospitality, you're right. I mean, it's so good for the kids, you know, to participate in that. But we didn't ever want our kids to feel like we were pressuring them into any kind of ministry. We wanted them to make their own decisions, and we wanted to put the gospel in front of them repeatedly, consistently, constantly. And we wanted to, you know, them to be involved with us as we were involved with the church. But we didn't want to place any kind of pressure on them apart from, you know, the pressure of, you know, the gospel, the gospel exerts itself.
Yes.
But to do ministry or anything like that, we didn't want to place any kind of pressure on them for that.
Right.
But they were just incorporated into our relationships. And the other thing I would say, hospitality to unbelievers. Mm-hmm. So having people from all over this region come into our home and sharing the gospel with them in front of our kids, I think it can just make a real impact on your kids because they see what's most important to you. From a young age, if you're sharing the gospel with people in front of them.
For sure. It gets me excited just thinking, I'm so glad we did what we did and that my kids grew up in this, in ministry in general, but church planting specifically. And I think that their perspective on the world is, and I'm sure you would say the same, is just marked by it in a good way.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. When you were doing this, did you feel expectations for your children from members or
any? No.
No. That's good.
And I think part of that was because we planted the church. And so, you know, really, I always say to church planters' wives, your DNA, good or bad, gets imprinted on that church. What you love, the church will love.
So true.
And so because I think maybe just the way that we were, it was like, that's just not a thing. There's not expectation and my kids, there was a lot of freedom. And part of that was because we were in a school. And so after church, the chairs go up and it's a gym and the kids are all running around. And yeah. So it was pretty, it was just communal and it was very casual. And so I think yeah. that they just felt like they could do that. And I never felt, and I've asked my kids now, did people say anything to you? Or the only thing that they said was that sometimes people would talk to them who they didn't know. And they weren't sure, you know, it's kind of like, how do you know me? I don't really yeah. know you. So that was the only thing.
My kids kind of like that, I think.
Did they feel expectation?
I don't think so. I don't think that yeah. they, and, but I just kind of thought it's because we come from so many different cultures and
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they, yeah.
What are your kids doing now? Do they live in the States or in Dubai or what?
One of them, our daughter Ruth, lives in Sharjah, which is the next emirate over.
Okay.
And she does student work here. She's fluent in Arabic.
Wow.
Which that's been a real joy to watch her become fluent in the language. I mean, John and I don't speak Arabic at all. Wow. But she can speak it, and Chloe can speak Arabic and took some in college, but Chloe's not fluent, and Andrew can say some words, but he didn't really want to learn the language the way, especially his oldest sister did. Yeah. And then Chloe is in Washington, D.C. So she's a member of Capitol Hill Baptist Church and loves it, lives with a family there. And Andrew is in Atlanta, and he's at Mount Vernon Baptist Church, and he absolutely loves it there. He was just okay. telling me what a great week he had and
that's great.
How good it was.
Well, just in closing, I'm thinking of women who are listening who are, you know, they're in the stage you were at when you moved to Dubai. They have small kids, and maybe the Lord is calling them to move or to do something that they never thought that they would ever do. What advice would you have for them, especially related to their children?
Yeah, great question. And I do have some advice. My first thing that I would say is live for Christ, not for your ministry. I think that's important for both husband and wife. If you live for Christ and you love Christ, your ministry will come out of that. But if you're living for ministry, it really becomes idolatry. And you hold on to, I mean, believe me, I've seen it in my life. You hold on tight to something, and you can wreck it then. But living and it can impact your kids. But if you are living for Christ, they see that you love Him above all, and then they see your love for them flows out of your love for Christ. So He has to be more important, and your kids have to be more important than your ministry. I would say, but the flip side, you don't want to, sometimes I do see moms who their whole life revolves around their kids. And I don't think that's healthy either.
Right.
And I think that's not, I mean, you're not putting Christ first if your kids are everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason that Jesus saves us into a church. And the church is just so important. And your kids can come along and do, you know, like you were saying, they can be involved in the ministry. They're not doing the ministry, but they're involved with you as you're doing ministry. And it's so good for them to see that.
That's right.
Because it shows them that Jesus is first.
Yeah.
And if you put them first, why would they worship God if He's not first? If they're first, then they're going to worship themselves.
That's right. Really. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say that, and then I would say love your local church. I guess this goes just right along with it. Love your local church first. That's our true family. You know, the body of Christ, you know, scripture tells us that the church is a family. It's described as family in the scriptures. So I think if you love your local church, and that includes the church as missionaries, the church that sends you and the church on the ground, you need a church where you are, whether it's your, like if you go out to a completely unreached area, you need to go with team members who are committed to forming a church, a local church. And I think that commitment to the local church and love for the local church is so important. And it's what is going to show our children what their lives should look like.
Yeah.
So if, you know, you hear all these statistics about kids leaving the faith and leaving the church, and that can happen. It's only the Holy Spirit who saves. I mean, the Holy Spirit has to change our children's hearts for them to repent and believe.
Yeah.
We know that, but we can hold out a beautiful picture for them of what it looks like to be in the local church, what it looks like to be saved. And we really need to do that by loving the church so that they leave our homes and they cannot imagine not being involved in their local church.
It's so good.
So I think I would say those things. One thing I would say too, now I was at a conference for missionaries just a year or two ago. And a woman came up to me afterward. I was teaching on suffering. And a woman came up to me afterward and in tears. And her son was struggling with extreme anxiety and that sort of thing. And she said that we had to apologize to our son for sacrificing him for our ministry. Now, these were people in a hard place. They were not in a city. They were more out in the country. And the son was struggling with loneliness, I think, and that sort of thing. And it took me aback a little bit. And it could be that they were too involved. There was ministry idolatry there. But it could just be that their son was struggling because their son was going to struggle. He may have struggled with anxiety just as much or more if they had stayed in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so I would say to women who have older children who are struggling, don't think that you've done something wrong moving overseas and becoming a missionary because your kids are struggling. They might have struggled. I mean, kids are struggling all over the world right now, and especially in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so I would just say, don't look there. Look at what you can do to help your children. Love them well. But don't think that, oh, we have to, we've done something wrong. I don't think that God is like that. He doesn't, you know, encourage someone to go overseas and then, you know, so that their children struggle, you know.
Right.
But these things happen, and it's not necessarily that the ministry is to blame, right. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. We always say when God calls us, he's going to provide for us, but he's also going to provide for our children, and he has something good for them too. He's not going to make it good for the parents and not for the kids. In terms of, like, he's going to work in their lives, and it may be through suffering.
Exactly. It may be through suffering that he works in their lives, but he's a good God, and he hasn't done this, you know, to do wrong to us. He's done it to do good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Carrie, for joining me and sharing. I just loved hearing your story. It's encouraging. I just love talking to women and hearing their story of how they've obeyed God, they've followed him, how he's been faithful to them. And so it's been an encouragement to me to hear that today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You've been an encouragement.
Ladies, if you are a woman who leads in ministry, whether you're on staff or in a volunteer capacity, I would love to invite you to join me for the first National Women's Evangelism Conference in Alpharetta, Georgia, on April 8th and 9th next year. I know this event will encourage and equip you to create a culture of evangelism in your ministry. Register today and make plans to join us. Visit namevangelism.com/women-conference or visit the link in the show notes for all the details. Can't wait to see you there.